CBC color presentation.
We all live in a capital I, in the middle of the desert, in the center of the sky. And all day long we polish on the eye to keep it clean and shiny so it brightens up the sky. Rubbing it here and scrubbing it there, polishing the eye so high in the air. As we work, we sing a lively tune. It is great to be so happy on a busy afternoon. And when we're through with the day's only chore, we go into the eye and we close the door. Capital I, capital I, capital I, capital I.
Back now at Shea Stadium, Gorilla Monsoon in there, discussing something with the referee. Apparently Monsoon, Anthony, felt that Andre had Wepner pinned, and indeed he did, but according to the rules, Wepner was able to get his foot out over the ropes, and therefore it's broken.
Oh, I believe that. Well, I don't see the reds going out of the ring, but if the referee says so, he must be right.
Wepner now looking to find a secret, trying to tag Andre the Giant. Andre moving right in. Now he has him out again.
This is the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and on the internet. I am your host, Cliff Nesteroff.
Jefferson K is program director of the 50,000-watt giant, WKBW Buffalo, New York.
KB is a contemporary, highly individual, personality-oriented, and hopefully entertaining radio station. Since the turn to top 40, music and news, rock and roll, whatever you choose to call it, some 15 years ago, KB has led the market with a policy of personality radio. We've tried to adhere to a certain kind of predictable unpredictability. And at the same time, we've never been afraid to break rules if the situation or if the personality lends itself to that kind of a situation. My philosophy is that the listener should not be a cipher, a neuter, that the station should not be background. We try to make them consciously think of the station as more than just a place on the radio dial. It's the center of activity in the community. Dan Evereth, now doing 6 to 10, is a homegrown product. He's been at KB Radio now for 10 years, first as afternoon drive, and now doing mornings. And if pressed, I would have to say that although he causes me an awful lot of headaches, I don't think I've ever heard a more consistent, more human-sounding entertainer.
Hey, guess what today is? Today is Bachelor Day. Big, big fat tears have started to roll from my director's eyes.
Jack Sheridan, 9 to noon, from Michigan. And although he's only been in the broadcasting field for a couple of years, he's a big league guy who's just beginning to discover what he can do.
Thank you. 19 minutes after 9 from WKBW on the Jack Sheridan Show. Free Whoppers from Burger King, a book of gold bond trading stamps, and a bottle of Silence's Golden Cough Formula. Could be yours. Call me right now at 644-9850 for Classic Bonanza if you'd like to test your musical ability, the recall ability. 644-9850. I'll take the first call.
And this is Don Burns, KB Radio Music. $1 for every dollar donated. Governor Rockefeller did that, huh? That's pretty good. They must make great martinis at those Boy Scout conventions.
Hey, baby, can't you see? Let's stay together at KB.
Weekends are a groove.
It's 1:13 with Don Burns on a TGIF from KB.
Pure dynamite.
Get it now.
Valentine's Day, Chicago. The Price Killers.
Introducing everything.
Introducing the elegant disc jockey from KB, Jerry Farrell. So good you'll be glad there's only one of them. Tomorrow morning at 10.
Sandy Beach from 3 to 7 p.m. Now, Sandy has done practically every shift on the air at KB and has improved the audience position of each one. Now, 2 years ago, he went to afternoon drive, and this Emerson College graduate from a small mill town in Massachusetts really took off. Charlie Parker at WDRC still hasn't forgiven me for stealing it. And what you've heard of KB doesn't tell the whole story. There are not many programmers that would take a chance on a kid like Petrowski, but that doesn't say that I'm daring or visionary. You see a bit that'll fit, and you use it. It's the same with people. His kind of voice and humor can make it with us, as can a lot of things that we do that many programmers would feel break all the rules. But then you think, who makes the rules?
It was terrible, but I love them, man. They make your heart cry, right, when you watch your kids do shit. Right? My kids was looking for me in the audience to be dancing. My children, they handle the dogs well. They call them and shit and slap them in the head, pull their ear, shit like that. They don't even pay shit attention to me. I said, hey, Bruiser, come here.
The fuck you want? Didn't we just eat? Well, what's this nigga want?
My kids get away with all that shit, me poking them in the eye. And they be going, don't do that. Don't you love when you ask your kids something and they start lying? You know, when they're real little, you know they're lying, you know. Say, who broke that? Huh? Who broke that? I'm gonna tell you, okay? Okay. I'm gonna tell you, okay? I'm not gonna get no spanking, right? Okay. Okay, I'm gonna tell you, okay? I'm gonna tell you anyway if I get a spanking, okay? First, I'm gonna tell you, okay? First, I was in the kitchen. Then I wasn't in here, I was in the kitchen. That was first, that was the first part. But then, you know what happened? Then I was running in here. Well, I wasn't really running. You remember when you told me not to run? You remember? You probably don't remember. So I wasn't really running, real running. But I was running a little bit, just like that. My feet were going like that, like it was, looked like it was running, but it wasn't really running. Then, I don't really remember what happened. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when I don't have a good memory. Something, I was in there, or the man had a refrigerator was in there. Then the grocery boy was in there. That's what happened. You know what happened? Yesterday when the man came with the refrigerator, well, they had to change the door, right? Well, they put it a little too close to the, little too close like that. So when I opened the door like that, it fell down just a little bit. And it wasn't broke all the way so much. I took a little, when it fell down like that. Then, what I was trying to do, okay? I had it like this. I was putting it up like that, and it fell over, and it broke like that. Okay? I said, yeah, okay, shit, you can tell that one, fuck it.
From Television City in Hollywood, this is the $25,000 Pyramid. Today's special guest star from Golden Girls, Betty White. And from Police Academy 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, David Graff. And now, here is your host, Dick Clark.
here comes that other guy back from the washroom.
Oh, yeah.
Golly, did you wash old buddy?
I think he washed, but he forgot old buddy.
He probably did. Yeah. You're almost as quick as this other guy with the drip drying.
Yeah, one more and you'll have the record.
Yeah. We got some folks at the door. How you doing, folks at the door?
Hang on, we'll play a shitty tune and scare a few people out and give you a seat.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Good to have you with us anyway.
All right.
Cheer like hell. We need all the help we can get, I'll tell you.
You wanna believe it?
Hmm.
How about if we change the pace a bit?
We're gonna change the chase here.
We're gonna change the pace.
Change the pace.
This is something that was recorded by the Mills brothers.
Oh, Bill's mother, yes, yes. She used to live in Elmer. Then she moved to London. Tall girl, two
Mike.
Lovely children.
Yeah.
We've known her for about a year and
Mike,
a half now.
I didn't say Bill's mother, Mike. I said the Mills brothers.
Oh, the Mills brothers.
Yeah, they're not from Elmer. They're from Pickwood, Indiana.
They certainly did. Somebody should have slapped them for it, too.
Here's a little tune they recorded called Cab Driver.
Grabber and driver. Punch her right in the mouth.
Cab Driver. All it, pal.
Oh, wait a minute, Dad.
Hey, come here.
What the hell?
Just a minute.
Go get him out of there. What the hell's going on here? Guy gets the runs in the middle of the show. You didn't even ask. Get him the hell out of here. What is going on here? You just don't go to the shit house in the middle of a tune, you know what I mean? He could have raised his hand or something. Oh, no. He just got to head off there like Charlie Brown in Heat. Gee, I hope he washes his hands. Oh, wiping his shoes off. He missed it altogether. I'll tell you something. Last night I had a hell of a compliment when I was in the washroom. A guy said, come on, Mike, step on it. So I shook his hand and I left right away. You know what I mean? Geez, taking a long time. How long was he saving this up for, honey? Has he been juicing it all? Why don't he just pour the beer in the toilet and eliminate the middleman? Boy, this is really something. Look at this guy. He isn't even weaned. He's still bottling over here. Terrific. I hope you choke, son. You look terrific. You made it, eh, Dad? A royal flush. Terrific. You look a little less full now, Dad. You want to have another drink now? Start it all over again?
Huh?
Huh? All right, we'll try to sing again.
Okay, here we go again. The Mills Brothers with Cab Driver.
Don't ever do that again.
Cab Driver. I want to go around the block. I never mind the ticking of the clock. I just wish that we'd have a talk. I can't drive. It won't go around the block. Cab Driver. Hey, once more down the street. There's a little place we used to meet. That's where leave my future at her feet. And you drive. Hey, once more down the street. Speed up, Daddy.
Cab driver. And once more round the block. I never mind the ticking of the clock. I just wish that we could have a talk. Cab driver, and once more round the block. Cab driver, and once more down the street. And there's a little place we used to meet. That's where late my future at her feet. Cab driver, and once more down the street. Cab driver, you better drive me home. I guess that I was meant to be alone. Oh, God, I feel I'm one of my own. Cab driver, you better drive me home. Cab driver, you better drive me home. Cab driver, you better drive me home.
The Mills Brothers! Cab driver!
Yes, sir!
Boy, oh boy, what a night we're having.
What a night, what a night, I'm telling you.
Boy, I hope it's better than last night. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Still tuned in here to the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, the show about comedy. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. Thanks for tuning in. That was Sun Ra and a song called The Perfect Man. And before the great Sun Ra, we listened to the horrible Maltin and Hamilton, an awful, awful Canadian comedy team from the 1970s who apparently are still around, just a bit balder and fatter, but still equally as unfunny. This LP titled Maltin and Hamilton Holding Their Own, Canada's number one comedy team, recorded live in Funtastic Stereo, as it says in the back. And this LP on the budget Marathon Music record label, which released primarily Canadian country music hoosits from small towns, Maltin and Hamilton released three LPs, one called The Mailman, one called Take Your Love and Shove It Up Your Heart, and this one, Holding Their Own, a real sort of corny lounge act that they had going that is often very racist. I spared you the racist tracks on this album. Before Maltin and Hamilton, we heard the theme song to the $10,000 pyramid, the $20,000 pyramid, the $50,000 pyramid, and the $100,000 pyramid. They all had the same theme song. That off the Fine CD, the Best of TV Quiz and Game Show Themes. Before that, we heard Richard Pryor telling jokes about his children off his Fine Warner Brothers double LP, Richard Pryor Wanted. Before that, we heard a song called Tony's Theme, as in Tony Roma, off the soundtrack to Lady in Cement. This is the 45 single that came off that soundtrack, a Frank Sinatra film. Hugo Montenegro doing the music in that. And we started the show off today listening to what I think are fascinating cuts off a fascinating album titled Programmer's Digest, Volume 1, Issue Number 1, July 10th, 1972, a audio magazine for radio broadcasters. These things were sent to radio stations all across America and Canada. Each LP included stories about what was going on in the radio world and profiles of various cheesy radio DJs straight across the continent. The Voice of Broadcasting, Programmer's Digest, and we were listening to a profile of radio WKBW in this edition.
I mentioned when I came out that I'm shorter than people think I am. And I'm not actually any shorter than I am, but I'm shorter than people think I am. And I'm not too often mistaken, you know, for Bob Newhart. I'm more often mistaken for a guy named Fred Neff, whom I've never met, but apparently I look like very much. And people will drive by and they'll yell, "Yo, Fred, you son of a gun! Why don't you call a guy sometime?" And I run alongside yelling, "I'm not Fred! I'm not Fred! I'm not Fred!" But, and it isn't a big problem of any kind, but, you know, it is sort of strange. Every so often, you know, you're mistaken for Fred Neff. It could be, I think most of us have a double somewhere, you know, someone who looks like us, because there are only so many noses and eyebrows and hair to go around, you know, and you got to double up eventually. You know? And it isn't too much of a problem, I say, with me, but for someone who looks like someone famous, it could be a little bit of a problem. Like, for instance, say there is a guy who looks exactly like Adolf Hitler. No fault of his, he looks exactly like Adolf Hitler. Now, every time he gets on a plane, he knows he's going to be bugged by some clown who sits down next to him, see? And every flight is going to go like this. Some clown will always come walking down the aisle like this. Oh, thank you very much, stewardess. Oh, that's fine, fine. Thank you. Well, they're sure having beasts these days, aren't they? That's Adolf Hitler sitting next to me. Oh, he got out. I don't know how he got out. So watch, watch it. He's looking at us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go up and tell the pilot to turn the plane back. It's Adolf. Adolf Hitler's on this flight. Go up and tell him. I keep him occupied here. Hi, Alfred. Hi. You're going to New York, are you? It's nonstop, that's right. You'd have to be going to New York, wouldn't you?
That was sort of a silly question. you live in New York, do you?
Oh, is your family there? Yeah, my wife is there. That's right, you never married. Nothing. Yeah, I was in St. Louis. Yeah, I was going there for a battalion reunion we're having. Some guys from World War II. Yeah, we were all conscientious objectors, as a matter of fact. We didn't care who won, you know. We we really didn't follow too closely, to tell you the truth. Oh, here comes the stewardess. Stewardess, can I have a little breakfast? That's Adolf Hitler sitting next to me. Stewardess? Hope you spilled an ash there on your book. You don't want to burn your book. Oh, look at the little girl. Hi there, little girl. Well, what's your name? Susie, is that right? Susie, what are you playing? Playing jacks. Could I play jacks with you, Susie? Huh? All right. What do I do? Just bounce. Susie, that's Adolf Hitler sitting next to me. No, not Hitler. Adolf Hitler. Yeah. Go up and tell your daddy. He'll know who it is. That's the way. This is a cute little girl, isn't she? you think I look like somebody? Richard Widmark. I do that laugh sometimes, you know. Yeah. A lot of people mistake you for someone, do they? Who is that? Adolf Hitler. Do they really? You know, I can't see any reason. Oh, the little mustache and the piece of hair falling in your eyes. You know. I guess a lot of people really make fools of themselves, don't they? Yeah, the captain is coming back with a little girl, isn't he? Huh? I think I'll go back in the lounge, get a drink. Nice meeting you. All right, goodbye. Goodbye.
Hello, this is an independent survey. What show do you watch right after the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
I watch Bob Newhart Show.
How do you like it?
I think it's funny, charming, and beautifully acted. And listen, Bob, next time, why don't you try a thicker handkerchief? Bye.
Hey, you want to see some nice pictures?
The Bob Newhart Show. The private life of your average American psychologist and his reasonably neurotic wife.
Emily, there are a lot of good reasons for adopting a child, but having to say something at a party is not good.
We got a fall for you.
Fellas, I want to level with you. I talked to the young ladies a bit ago, very pointedly. Now, I want to level with all of you fellas sitting along the back row there and some of you down here, very seriously. But you can't keep your heart if you allow your eyes to characteristically look and linger over the filthy, revealing nakedness and nudity that is paraded on nearly every newsstand and which is so easily accessible for teenage fellas and girls to get their hands on. Now, I know at the outset of what I'm saying that you fellas and girls are not responsible for that pornographic literature being on the newsstand. We adults are responsible. There have been very few voices lifted up today against it, and they can publish almost anything they want to corrupt the morals of you pliable, precious teenage kids who are the Canada of tomorrow. You're not responsible for the society in which you live, but you're responsible if you fall for some of the traps of that society. And one of them is this pictorial stuff that you can easily get. Fellas, listen to me. If you take a look at that stuff, you'll go back for a second look and you'll linger. And if you begin to linger looking at it, you'll lust. And if you lust after it, you're about to lose. You know why? Because that stuff leaves a tremendous, indelible imprint and mental image on your mind. And when you're alone in the secret place, under the cover of night, or when you're on a date, that image will come back up before you. And remember this. That uncontrolled passion knows no conscience. Guys, I challenge you, keep your heart by letting your eyes look straight on. Not this way, but straight on in a forward, pure path. You and I were born, God placed within us the natural desire, the pure desire for one of the opposite sex. And that desire is called creative energy, and it's powerful. And every fellow and every girl sitting in this assembly this afternoon has the power of creative energy born right within him. I have it, you have it, teacher, whoever you are. That's natural. But when God gave us the power of creative energy, kids, he also gave us rules by which to govern that power of creative energy. And I'm here to tell you that if you break the rules governing creative energy and its power, you're in for big trouble. You see, the soil in my garden is in its rightful place. It grows the vegetables that I need. It's productive out there. But supposing I someday go out with a pail and I scoop up a pail full of that soil, which is productively in its rightful place in my garden, and I bring it into my living room and I scatter it all over the living room rug. When I do that, that soil becomes nothing but dirt. The power of creative energy and sex is God-ordained, it's pure, it's holy, it's right, as long as it is kept within the confines and the bounds of the marriage relationship. That's where God wants it, and God's rule is to keep it there. But if there are foolish high schoolers, and I meet some of them today, who think that they can get away with it by taking the power of creative energy and sex out of the garden of purity, and they bring it into a shaded living room or a draped recreation room or a parked car on a dark lane where the window has been rolled down and discretion thrown to the breeze, or a place in a quiet, shady nook on the beach somewhere during the summer holidays, and those kids make out of the power of creative energy and sex nothing but dirt.
Thank you.
Burger King, my former magician. His tricks never worked. Magician, make me a Whopper.
Make you a Whopper? Okay. You're a Whopper.
No, I mean, give me a Whopper. Phew. Now make me a vanilla shake.
You're a vanilla shake.
Hey, you made me a bag of French fries.
Nobody's perfect.
Burger King.
I got those repressed hostility blues here in the heartless city. I'm elbowed and muscled and hustled around by a queer turn of psych. I'm bound to be pleasant to those I dislike. I got those repressed hostility blues, lost in the cruel, cruel city. I'm jostled, maltreated, and cheated in turn by an odd twist of fate. I yearn to be gracious to people I hate. I'm a lonesome, emotional lackey who craves someone to attack. I need a waiter, a waitress, or hacky who promise not to fight back. I got those repressed hostility blues here in the no-good city. The anger I'm feeling is all in my mind. Oh, if only I knew some kind of a someone to transfer it to. To transfer it to. Oh, there must be a chump on whom I can dump my repressed hostility blues. This
is Alan Robin, and as a prefatory note, I would remind you that none of the sessions in therapy that you are about to hear actually ever took place.
We're open on that question. I should point out, however...
I said exactly the same words. That's exactly what I said.
Oh, well, that's good.
There isn't any doubt.
Well, good.
I didn't say that, did I? Certainly no one knows this better than you.
Good morning, Miss Moore.
Good morning, Doctor.
Send in the first appointment, dear. Coming to me for psychotherapy for how long now?
2 to 3 months.
No.
18 months. I would say that we're open on that question. I should point out, however, every day, forever.
Well, that's all right.
In 1966, 1967, 1968?
No.
For 6 months, for 4 years, for 12 months, late February, 2 years ago, or 4 years ago, or 10 years ago. 1962, over the past 4 years.
No matter. And you still think that you are...
President of the United States.
That's a common disturbance. You were late again today. I suppose you just flew in from the Winter White House in...
South Vietnam.
Incidentally, would you care to use the couch today?
I think I will just stand on the table.
All right. You just stand on the table, as usual. Incidentally, I like that suit you're wearing. Who made that for you?
Millions of South Vietnamese men, women, and children.
Yes, that's an interesting tie. Where did you get the tie?
Thailand.
You were telling me last time that you were holding talks with Napoleon.
I'm going to meet with him for an extended visit tomorrow at Camp David, and I will be discussing a number of problems with him.
We've never gotten into this before. Are you religiously inclined?
Yes. Very relevant.
Believe in the Almighty.
He has been regularly briefed on the telephone on two occasions, and...
Yes. All right, I'll make a note of that.
I'm going to meet with him for an extended visit tomorrow at Camp David.
He's coming to Camp David also. We look into earlier influences now. Your parents, did they ever spank you and put you to bed without dinner?
This last Friday.
I see. I'll make a note of that.
I'm not afraid of him.
Well, that's good. Was this an embarrassing line of questions for you? You look flushed. Have you any fever?
199.8.
Well, what is normal for you?
200.7.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, let's get to your very early childhood. What did you say when you needed to be changed?
I won't discuss those activities at this time.
It's important that we do.
Talk about anything else.
Please answer the question. What did you say when you needed to be changed?
And it's raining.
It's raining. I see. Did your parents have any pet name for you at this time?
Nixon the Rainmaker.
Well, would you say the situation got slightly out of hand at that period?
Yes, I would.
All right. How old were you when this pattern ended?
Well, it was approximately a year ago, not quite a year ago.
I'll make a note of that. Getting onto something else. Last week, we were into your sleep habits, and they seemed to be of some concern.
I'm not concerned.
All right, but you still sleep with your teddy?
I'm concerned.
And your duck? You still sleep with your duck?
Very sparingly.
Very sparingly.
That has a psychological effect. Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Meyer. That's the name of your duck. All right. And you still wear the one-piece pajamas with the feet?
Generally.
And you still sleep with the lights on?
Quite candidly, yes.
You're afraid of something?
Yes.
Tell me what?
Tax reform, the House, the Senate, my desk, public opinion, Hanoi, South Vietnam, the Tu regime, look, time, desegregation in education, Hanoi, Peking, and the Soviet Union.
That's okay. I just thought I'd ask. These are things you're afraid of.
Mr. Harriman. Business.
Okay. All right. I'll make a note of that.
Rockefeller, the French. NATO. Clark Clifford.
Now let's get into word association.
And a big steel company. Secretary Rogers and the vice president.
Word association. I give you a word and you give me the first word that comes to your mind. Ready? Bad.
Good.
Good.
Better.
Sophia Loren. Once more, Sophia Loren.
Two things.
Sex.
On Wednesday.
Spiro Agnew.
I don't know the gentleman.
Motel.
Mr. Smith.
Now, I think...
Most of the American people, Judge Carswell, everybody in Washington, Secretary Laird.
Yeah, that's what you're afraid of.
Trucks, this room, the sea, the air, the news, television.
Wait, what are you doing?
I have decided to go...
Oh, you're back.
General Abrams, honest debate, our allies.
Thank you.
And you're still listening to the Generation Exploitation Podcast on the internet and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. We just heard the 1960s theme song from the game show What's My Line, listening to lots of game show themes today. Before the What's My Line theme song, we heard an album called Super Shrink by Alan Rubin, who is a comedy writer from the late 60s and early 70s, wrote gags for The Tonight Show, among other things. And on this record, Alan Rubin spliced up the speeches and interviews of Richard Nixon for the psychiatric consultation that we heard here from his 1970 Janus Records comedy LP. And speaking of psychiatry, before we listen to this cut, we heard from an album titled Songs of Couch and Consultation, a song sung by a woman named Katie Lee, the Repressed Hostility Blues, from, I believe, 1960. This is a very funny record. We've listened to a song called Gunslinger off this album before on the show. Before that, we heard a Burger King commercial from the early 1960s and the theme song from the Monty Hall-hosted game show Let's Make a Deal. Very fine song. Before we heard the theme song from Let's Make a Deal, we heard Barry M. Moore and a track off his funny Christian lecture LP, Teacher Talks to Teens. And we heard Barry railing against pictorial pornographic garbage, warning against the secret place of night and the dangers of out-of-wedlock sex that might take place in a room with curtains. From 1963, Teacher Talks to Teens, recorded at a high school assembly in London, Ontario, Canada. Before that, the theme song from another game show, the Bill Cullen-hosted television hit Blockbusters, a very popular game show in the 1970s. Before that, we heard Bob Newhart and his stand-up comedy bit, The Man Who Looked Like Hitler, off his Warner Brothers LP, Bob Newhart Faces Bob Newhart. And we started off this set with the theme song to Sergeant Bilko, a.k.a. The Phil Silvers Show. That does it for this episode of the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy. Don't forget to check out the website, saturdaymorn.blogspot.com, for all kinds of footage of classic Saturday morning cartoons from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Also, classicshowbiz.blogspot.com, all featuring classic talk show footage from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, and other showbiz oddities. Also, check out Radio WFMU's Beware the Blog, blog.wfmu.org, for an article I write. That does it for me. Talk to you later.
Cocksuckers.